Jai Radha Madhava Kunjabi Hari. Jai Radha Madhava Kunjabi Hari. Gopi Janabalaba Girdivanadari. Gopi Janabalaba Girdivanadari. Yasoda Nandana Vraja Jana Ranjana. Yasoda Nandana Vraja Jana Ranjana. Yamuna Tira Vanachari. Jamuna Tira Vanachari. Jaya Radha Madhava Kunjabi Hari. Gopi Jana Balaba Girdivanadari. Yasoda Nandana Vraja Jana Ranjana. Yamuna Tira Vanachari. Jaya Radha Madhava Kunjabi Hari. Jaya Radha Madhava Kunjabi Hari. Jaya Prabhupada Jaya, Prabhupada Jaya, Prabhupada Jaya, Prabhupada. Jaya Prabhupada Jaya, Prabhupada Jaya, Prabhupada Jaya, Prabhupada. Jai Om Vishnupada Paramahansa Parivajakacharya Asa Tata Sata Shri Srimad Srila Bhakti Vedanta Goswami Maharaj Srila Prabhupada Ki. Jai Om Vishnupada Paramahansa Parivajakacharya Asa Tata Sata Shri Srimad Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Goswami Maharaj Srila Prabhupada Ki. Anantakoti Vaishnava Vrinda Ki. Namacharya Srila Haridas Thakur Ki. Prem Chikaho Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Kadadar Shri Vasadi Gaur Bhakti Vrinda Ki. Shri Radha Krishna Gopinath Shyamakund Radhakund Giri Govardhan Ki. Vrindavan Dham, Mayapur Dham, Jagannath Puri Dham, Samaveda Bhakta Vrinda Ki. Gaur Premanandi. All glories to the assembled devotees. All glories to the assembled devotees. All glories to the assembled devotees. All glories to Shri Shri Guru and Gauranga. All glories to Srila Prabhupada. This morning we are reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 10, Chapter 1, The Advent of Lord Krishna, Introduction, reading text 15. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Shri Sukha Uvacha. Samyag Vyavasita Buddhish. Tava Rajarshi Sattama. Vasudeva Katayamte. Yagjata Naishtiki Rati. Sri Sukha Uvacha. Samyag Vyavasita Buddhis. Tava Raj Rashi Satama. Vasudeva Katayamte. Yajjata Naishtiki Ratihi. Please chant. Tava Raj Rashi Satama. Vasudeva Katayamte. Yajjata Naishtiki Ratihi. Samya Vyavasita Buddhis. Ajarshi Satama. Vasudeva Katayamte. Yajjata Naishtiki Ratihi. Ladies. Shri Sukha Uvacha. Shri Sukadeva Goswami said, Samyak, completely. Vyavasita, fixed. Buddhi, intelligence. Tava, of your majesty. Raja Rishi Satama, O best of the Rajarshis, saintly kings. Vasudeva Katayam. In hearing about the topics of Vasudeva Krishna. Te, your, yat, because, jata, developed, naishtiki, without cessation, ratihi, attraction or ecstatic devotional service. Translation by Srila Prabhupada. Srila Sukadeva Goswami said, O your majesty, best of all saintly kings, because you are greatly attracted to topics of Vasudeva, it is certain that your intelligence is firmly fixed in spiritual understanding, which is the only true goal for humanity. Because that attraction is unceasing, it is certainly sublime. Please repeat. Srila Sukadeva Goswami said, O your majesty, best of all saintly kings, because you are greatly attracted to topics of Vasudeva, it is certain that your intelligence is firmly fixed in spiritual understanding, which is the only true goal for humanity. Because that attraction is unceasing, It is certainly sublime. Purport by Srila Prabhupada. Krishna Katha is compulsory for the Rajarshi, or executive head of government. This is also mentioned in Bhagavad Gita, Imam Rajarshayo Vidu. Unfortunately, however, in this age, the governmental power is gradually being captured by third-class and fourth-class men who have no spiritual understanding, and society is therefore very quickly becoming degraded. Krishna Katha must be understood by the executive heads of government, for otherwise, how will people be happy and gain relief from the pangs of material life? One who has fixed his mind in Krishna consciousness should be understood to have very sharp intelligence in regard to the value of life. Maharaj Parikit was Rajarshi Satama, the best of all saintly kings, and Sukadeva Goswami was Muni Satama, the best of munis. Both of them were elevated because of their common interest in Krishna Katha. The exalted position of the speaker and the audience will be explained very nicely in the next verse. Krishna Katha is so enlivening that Maharaj Parikit forgot everything material, even his personal comfort in relation to food and drink. This is an example of how the Krishna consciousness movement should spread all over the world to bring both the speaker and the audience to the transcendental platform and back home, back to Godhead. Translation again. Srila Sukadeva Goswami said, O your majesty, best of all saintly kings, because you are greatly attracted to topics of Vasudeva, it is certain that your intelligence is firmly fixed in spiritual understanding, which is the only true goal for humanity. Because that attraction is unceasing, it is certainly sublime. So in this verse, the word Rajarshi is very significant. So Srila Prabhupada explains that Rajarshi is a combination of Raja, which means king, and Rishi, which means saint. So when you put the words together, it becomes Rajarshi. And Prabhupada has named many different people whose personality, whose lives we've heard of as Rajarshis, like Janaka, King Janaka, King Yudhisthira, Dhruva Maharaj. There's so many that he's mentioned. When I looked up the word Rajarshi in Vedabase, there was innumerable references. I mean, it's not innumerable. There's a certain number, but there were just so many that I couldn't read them all. I did notice how he particularly mentions Lord Ram as a Rajarshi. Like, his whole life was, we can understand it, was to show us how a saintly king can rule a kingdom and be responsible for all the citizens. And the ultimate example of that in his life was how, after Sita had been kidnapped by Ravana, and, you know, the whole story of, you know, Lord Ram killing Ravana in order to get her back, then when he brought her back to Ayodhya, just to prove to the citizens and, you know, to anybody who was questioning her purity, he actually rejected her initially and said he couldn't bring her back. So she entered into the fire, and Agni, the Lord of Fire, didn't burn her. He actually delivered her totally unburned back to Ram, and this was the proof. Actually, we can understand it wasn't the real Sita who was kidnapped and, you know, lived in Ravana's kingdom. It was the Maya Sita, like an expansion of her. But despite this proof, still one day Lord Ram was wandering around his kingdom. He didn't always just sit in his palace and, you know, just be the king. He would actually go out among the citizens. I guess he was incognito. He happened to overhear a man saying to his wife, this is how did Prabhupada put it? Here someone said, King Ramachandra, he has accepted his wife who was kidnapped by Ravana. And this was a low-class man, a washerman, Prabhupada explained. And still, Lord Ram, as soon as he heard this, he thought, my citizens are criticizing me. And so what does he do? He actually sent Sita away. And of course, he didn't even know she was pregnant with twins, and didn't matter. He sent her away because he was so responsible as the king that the welfare of his citizens was more important than his own enjoyment, I guess you could say. And this is, you know, what when Prabhupada is in this purport, when Prabhupada is explaining how the government has been taken over by third and fourth class men, I mean, he's being very, very kind when he says that. In other places, when I was reading all these posts, when he's talking about Rajarshi, he's using his favorite, one of his favorite words, which he usually just keeps for the scientists, but he also labeled the government, you know, people in charge of government as rascals. And let's see, there was one, a few quotes where he says that. He says, this is in a lecture in Los Angeles in 1974. He says that what's required is a monarchy. So we can discuss this a little more, but a monarchy as opposed to a democracy. So, but the monarch must be a saintly person. So without being a saintly person, how can he become the representative of God? The king is supposed to be the representative of God. So unless he has got godly character, saintly character, a great devotee, how can he become the head of state? Now, because the so-called leaders, so-called presidents, they are themselves agent of Kali. How can they stop this illicit sex, meat eating, gambling, and intoxication? They cannot do. So you have to take shelter of the Shastra, and then you will be able to avoid it. Otherwise, it is not possible. So the light at the end of the tunnel is practicing Krishna consciousness. But this point of being of a monarchy. So in today's world, we do see the remnants of some monarchies, but none of the current monarchies were ever led by saintly kings. Although maybe at some point in time they did feel that their king was representative of God. I don't know. We don't have kings in India anymore. Maybe they have their little serfdom kind of situation, but they don't have any power. They don't have any influence over people. The monarchs that we do hear about, they're kind of figureheads. You know, they're not really doing anything for the people, or you just don't have any power. And therefore, you know, this idea of democracy has become very prominent in the world, that that's really the way that the world should be run. But Prabhupada has said over and over again that it's only a devotee who can truly care about the citizens. I don't know if I want to go into the subject too much about this particular country, except that I do want to hand out this wonderful newspaper that's produced by, I think it's mostly the second generation devotees in San Diego. It's called 16 Rounds to Samadhi. And maybe you've seen past issues, and the most recent issue, there was some available at the back of the temple room some time ago. Somehow I have a whole box of them, so I will distribute them after class. But the lead article, it's called The World Policeman. And it's this very scholarly presentation taken from a particular book which is referenced at the end of the article. But it's basically describing America and how many wars it's fought over the years. Now, we have our history books, and maybe we've lived through a few wars ourselves, but we don't know the whole history. We only know what... Okay, later... Because he's referenced the book. We could check out the book. I mean, maybe there's someone. Okay, so you're our temple historian. Read this article, and you can report back to us. Oh, you read it. Was it not true?
I mean, it's relative, but it's not the whole history either.
Okay, it's not the whole history, but it's more history of wars that we don't know about that America's fought. Okay, what this article is saying... Okay. Well, the point is that we live in an aggressive society where wars are... Let's just talk about the wars we know about. Everyone knows that wars are being fought for money. It's just to keep the rich people rich. Okay, that's... Most people... Right. Don't interrupt it. It's disturbing. People are becoming more and more aware that wars are not being fought for altruistic purposes, that they're, you know, they're not being fought for necessarily for freedom or for keeping peace in the world. They're being fought because of money interests. And, you know, the rich seem to control the government. And even when if we happen to elect some do-gooder type person, there seems like they get caught up in the mechanics of the, you know, the political system, and it's very hard to clean up a mess. And I'm just talking about this country where, you know, theoretically, there, you know, it's not total degradation. It's kind of cover degradation, because if you ever take your life in your hands and watch the news, it's really, really depressing to see what's going on in other countries. I mean, for instance, we had an incident back in the 80s where devotees were gunned down in, was it Liberia? Libya? Liberia. And that same person who ordered the devotees, was it 7 or 8 devotees, including a, you know, wonderful saintly devotee, Ladini Devi Dasi. The person who ordered their murders, as far as I know, he's now very strong political figure in that country. I mean, there's like, in other words, known murderers, known, you know, culprits, I mean, just totally degraded people have political power in some countries. And this is just, I'm just mentioning this because of the extreme difference between the Rajarshi, who was so responsible to his citizens. And this is, you know, what Prabhupada is saying is the way the world should be run. And at first you can think, well, you know, we're just so far from that. How can we possibly make a difference? But his answer is that we individually must become Krishna conscious. And of course, collectively, he's given us full responsibility to fulfill his mission, which is to spread Krishna consciousness all over the world. Lord Chaitanya has predicted this is going to happen. He said the holy name will be chanted in every town and village. So if Krishna himself has predicted this, he's certainly made arrangements for us to fulfill it. The only question is, what are we going to do? What is going to be our part? And, you know, or are we going to be part of it? I mean, we are, because we're chanting Hare Krishna. Anybody who's listening to this lecture is already a committed, you know, part of fulfilling Prabhupada's mission. And yet there's this, you know, it's a huge mission that Prabhupada gave us to spread Krishna consciousness all over the world. And if we're not prepared to take a leading role, just we should know that just by our practicing Krishna consciousness on a daily basis, just by chanting our rounds, and hopefully sharing our lives with other people that we meet, which is not really like so hard to do. Everybody can do that. We can do service, we can, you know, enliven each other in Krishna consciousness and so on. There's so many things we can do, even if we don't see ourselves as a big leader. This is having an impact. It's having impact in our lives, in our families, in our community. Just this morning, I was reading the new temple newsletter that's posted on the bulletin board, and I saw how Abhimanyu Wolf was the valedictorian of Santa Fe High School. Isn't that awesome? Yeah, how do you go? And I can't hear you, but talk. Yeah, I was going to say, it's not the first time that a devotee kid has been valedictorian. It's been this last 5 or 10 years, what you're going to say? And in his speech, which is quoted on in the newsletter, he glorified Srila Prabhupada. I mean, how awesome is that? He was appreciating Srila Prabhupada in this venue of giving this, you know, the valedictorian speech, graduation. There's opportunities like that that come up, and we have to grab them, you know. And this is something that goes on in my life, that I sometimes am hesitant to share Krishna consciousness because I'm thinking that this person's going to think badly of me. They're going to think I'm crazy, or, you know, whatever their impression of Hare Krishna devotees is, that sometimes I let that stop me in sharing Krishna consciousness. So if that is the case in your life, it's something to examine and re-examine and re-examine, because, we know in our own community, when we're safe in our own community, what incredible value we have in our life. But Srila Prabhupada gave us the opportunity to chant Hare Krishna and develop a loving relationship with Krishna. I mean, this is incredible. And we appreciate it. Even if we don't express it, we do appreciate it. And also we know that we're, in a sense, we're saved. We don't have to really be concerned about ourselves as long as we keep practicing Krishna consciousness. And what Prabhupada's expecting us to do is share Krishna consciousness with others, give Krishna consciousness to others, like not be just all about ourselves, but be there for other people. I mean, really, like I said, we are taken care of. We are good to go. Now we have to focus on other people. I mean, if we're suffering, from all of our, mental stuff, our physical things that happen, we know we're suffering. Material world means suffering. But people without Krishna consciousness are really, really suffering. Again, going back to how people are treated in many countries in this world. I mean, I don't even want to talk about it in Bhagavatam class. It's so disgusting how people are treated, not being protected, and especially women and children. I mean, it's like unbelievable what goes on in this world. I mean, we may have carved out our own nice little niche, and we have our life is going on nicely, and we try to, and every day we try to be happy, and other people just don't have these kind of opportunities. And if you can at all think outside the box, and I would suggest that most of us can do way, way more than we think we can. And, as a community, we have a lot of power. We just need to get maybe more organized. I don't know. I think it's something that we should be discussing amongst ourselves. Like, how can we implement preaching programs that will impact the community in a deeper way? We're already doing so many things. I'm not criticizing what we're already doing. I'm just saying let's raise the bar. And, we'd all like to do that, right? So it's just, I want to encourage everyone to, think about new inventive ways to spread Krishna consciousness. And, you know, it's our heritage. I mean, I've said this other times, there really isn't any they. When we talk about the anonymous, they will do something, or just like years ago when I was very enthusiastic about the Love Thy Neighbor Festival, I got that idea because I saw it in Europe, and they invited the neighbors to come to the temple for prasadam and entertainment. They saw the drama, and that was, you know, a successful program in Europe. So I had the idea to have that here. And I just lost my train of thought when it was the point about that festival. That's it. Thank you. I was always thinking, from the time I saw that happening in Europe, which was like early 80s, I would think about that, inviting the neighbors, and would think that this anonymous they should do it, right? That they, I guess we mean our temple authorities or the leaders. And what I wasn't seeing was that there, like I said, there isn't any they, there's just us. It's just us, and we are the leaders. I mean, we are. Not the typical way you think of leader, but a leader can be defined as someone who others follow. So in that sense, we're all leaders because we're examples of Krishna consciousness. And, you know, that alone means leader. So if we have some good ideas of something you'd like to see happen, then I'm saying be that person that brings it forward. Get others involved. And, you know, because whatever we're enthusiastic about, it's not work. It doesn't occur to us as work. It's just, you know, it's like I don't want to use the word driven because that has, like, bad connotations. Like, it's, you know, not satisfying when you're driven to do something. But if we're enthusiastic, we're just impelled to move forward and see that project happen, whatever it is we're enthusiastic about. So anyway, I don't want to go around right now and ask you for ideas. I've done that before, and, you know, have heard some really great ideas, like a Krishna conscious radio program or a Disney World type thing, but with a Krishna theme. And there's some really great ideas. And actually, you know, it does all start with one person having a vision. I mean, the whole Krishna conscious movement started with Prabhupada having a vision and having implicit faith in his guru, where he never felt separated from his guru at all times. And, you know, we also want to follow in Prabhupada's footsteps in that same way. So I just want to say, when I first read this purport, I was just feeling this huge gap, you know, between the idea of the monarch and being responsible for his citizens and taking care of the citizens, and where we are today, and just feeling like, well, this is never going to happen. And yet last week's bulletin board, by the way, had a picture of one of our sannyasis, Radhanath Swami, being photographed with the President of the United States. So maybe it's not so far-fetched. I mean, the idea that the Brahmins are the advisors to the leaders, maybe that's going to happen in our lifetime. I think it helped that he had written a book, which is basically how he became a devotee. How he, you know, the journey home is very interesting life story, examining practically every possible spiritual path that exists in India. I mean, even his trip to India was amazing, 1971. And this book He gave a copy of the book to President Obama and asked him to read it and give him feedback. So maybe there's more to this story to be continued when that happens. Still, you know, it is a huge leap between the ideal and what we're dealing with on a day-to-day basis and what's going on in this country, which is impacting our lives. And at first, like I said, I felt like this huge gap. And then, as I continued reading the purport, and reading how Prabhupada talked about Rajarshi in so many different instances, and I just got that all we need to do is practice Krishna consciousness. That's ultimately going to change the world. It's changing our lives. We've seen when we became devotees, our lives are completely transformed. Okay, maybe not the second generation. They're growing up as devotees. They're very fortunate. But those of us who had a previous life, it's like we can mark the day that we became devotees and our life became completely transformed. And I was thinking, even just on a subtle level, this is making an impact in the world. Just the chanting, I mean, there's so much glorification of the holy name and how auspicious it is just to say Hare Krishna, even once for a person. What to speak of all of the saints who I'm looking at right now, all the great devotees who are chanting Hare Krishna sincerely every day. And we're crying out to Krishna, please engage me in your service. I mean, this is creating an auspicious atmosphere. So I just want to encourage everyone to continue chanting Hare Krishna, continue practicing Krishna consciousness, and also as a community, let's really figure out ways to impact our fellow citizens in this area. And we're already doing, like I said, so much. We have, 7 Ratha Yatras every year. We're distributing prasadam on the campuses, UF and Santa Fe College, and devotee. I mean, there's just so many projects going on, and still we can raise the bar. We know there's so much more all of us can. We know we can do more, right? At least I know I can do more. I thank you very much for letting me speak. And after class, please come and get a copy of this wonderful newspaper called 16 Rounds to Samadhi. And if there are any questions or comments, yes, Yamaraj Prabhu.
Thank you very much, Mother, for such an enlightening class. And I read the magazine. I read it all the way through. In Bhakti Chitra Swami's book, Leadership in the Age of Higher Consciousness, he speaks about we are all connected consciousness. Mm. And we have a collective consciousness. So like you were saying, when we simply do attentive japa, practice Krishna conscious seriously, that helps the world, that helps the society. And then one last thing, I remember in Chicago, some devotees, they had this idea about a radio station, and they got a program going, and they started doing it like every month. They would go on this radio station and do bhajans and talk about Krishna consciousness. So thank you for the nice class.
Yeah, thank you. Do you know if they had to pay for it, or was like a free service?
Well, in Chicago, because I had some of Bhakti Titta Swami's programs on this CAN television, And so it was a lot of free, you know, things you could do there.
Right.
You know, but in this particular case, this one Indian guy, he owned a, well, he, you know, he had a great influence in this radio station, so I think he let let them come on there. Yeah.
So maybe somebody who's interested in that could look into, like, free time on the radio. There's probably free time on cable television as well. Yes, Adi Dave.
In Houston, Texas, many years ago, a devotee named Pandava Das began a program. And I'm not sure what he always had. They gave him very strange hours, but it was public TV. And he had like an hour. And he would interview sannyasis, and he would have tapes, and he would have, you know, his wife would be, you know, like the hostess, and she would invite everyone to the Sunday feast. And and he continued this. And he's moved now to Dallas. I don't know if he still does it, but I mean, for years he did this. And he would have people showing up at the Sunday feast. Oh, yeah, I saw you on TV. You know, so.
Wasn't that called Dangerous TV? Didn't
yeah.
Isn't that what he called it?
Yeah, right. He had Kermit the Frog. I mean, you know, he was real creative with it, and just had all kinds of interesting things that would captivate people and sort of move them towards the Sunday feast, and from there, you know, things took off. But.
Wow. Hey, that just reminds me that just recently Mukya asked me to do some PR work, because I usually do the advertising for John Mastamy, and so there's a new website called visitalachua.org. And they asked us for a write-up for their church section. And they asked us for pictures as well. So that website is up and running. And apparently, I just got a notice that we are on that website. And we're basically inviting people to the Sunday feast and come visit the temple. And I also just want to just mention another way Christian consciousness is being spread. This just reminds me, Adi Dev, I think of you, like your daughters, you know, doing wonderful work with their music, and there's so many other second generation youth who are, you know, doing kirtan in yoga studios all across America, like the Mayapuris from this community and Gauravani. And I know about it because my son does mantrology, right? And I'm always amazed at the different venues that they find to present Krishna consciousness. And I've had talks with some of the second generation, how they have this vision that they can, you know, eventually rent halls, you know, and have, what do they call it? A concert. Yeah, have a concert where it's a presentation of music, chanting, Bharatanatyam, yoga, just a whole package. And people pay for it so that, you know, the devotees can support themselves by doing this kind of program. They're doing it now on a small scale, but a larger scale. Yes, who's next?
It's me. I'm back here behind Tulsa
okay.
David.
I see you.
I just wanted to bring up one thing, because at the beginning of your, or in your talk, it seemed to indicate that, you know, there were many horrible things happening to people here and there and everywhere. And, you know, we have no idea from our comfortable situation how miserable it is. But Prabhupada saw even the richest and most well-established people as suffering terribly. And he was just as interested in eliminating their suffering as he was in eliminating the suffering of people who are materially obviously suffering. Although we understand that you have to have a certain homeostasis before you can even think of spiritual life, because if you're starving, you have to eat in order to think of anything else but food. But at the same time, we shouldn't allow ourselves to think that affluence or material wealth, or even it looking polished and feeling good, is any less suffering. Sometimes it's more suffering, and it's an illusion which Prabhupada very much dedicated his life to eliminating.
Thank you very much. Yeah. Anybody else? Yes, Tulsi Rani.
wanted to mention that those magazines that you're going to pass out, they're not really made for just devotees to read. They're specifically made for Sankirtan, for preaching and outreach, and they're really nice magazines. So I think you were saying we should think about what it is that we can do on a small or large scale. And I think one thing is not just to take that magazine and read it yourself, but to give it to someone else, because I've seen so many students really become intrigued and interested in Krishna consciousness by reading that magazine. So it's not just for us to read. We already have Krishna, so we should give it to others. So.
Thank you. Okay, so I have them here, and you can take some and distribute them as you like. I have a lot of copies. And it's June. It's the June issue, so it's timely. I don't want them to not get distributed. Okay? So please come and get some copies and distribute them. Read them and distribute them. It's always good to know what you're distributing, so you have to read it first. Thank you all very much. Hare Krishna.